your roadways. You know, another lot, another acre. Because we only require an acre per business.
Right.
Well, I think we don't want to, I mean, we're trying to do a curative amendment, which is a first, again, first time for us anyway. And we just would like to get it down so we don't have to do it again across the street. Right? Let's try to get it all done together.
Well, but with all due respect, Mr. DePetris, this is a curative amendment that is going to be part of the ordinance that's going to affect the entire township, not just your property.
Yes.
And for example, I have a 5-acre piece on Route 6. Should that be under this purvey? I mean, where are we going to go with it?
I have an 8-acre piece of commercial property.
That's why I'm looking at it, because, you know, where...
In the DD.
So I think, to be fair, and I hope this is okay with Mr. Belwar, I think we need to talk about the next couple items at the same time to maybe put this in perspective, and that's the amount of lot coverage.
Okay.
It's... Good negotiations mean that everybody comes off the table with something. And if we're going to have this type of development, what is the limit? Is the limit of businesses the amount that would normally come out of a piece of property? In other words, if we have 20 acres and you can get 10, is that what? How do we know where this begins and ends without some sort of limit on the lot coverage? Am I making sense?
So our experience is, you know, 75%, okay, in most of our Monroe County developments, that 65% is doable. The infrastructure improvements here between traffic and sewer is going to be very expensive, and you would not get a project off the ground without sufficient coverage.
Okay. Well,
and of course, the coverage has to meet all of the requirements of parking. You know,
okay, so then let me ask you this question. How many businesses are you proposing to put on that property in total? And the property across the street?
We did a schematic plan. Again, it's hard to predict it totally, but we did a schematic plan, which I think you've seen, which I have copies of.
The schematic plan shows 5 lots on the larger parcel that we're currently interested in, but we need to consider the parcel across the street as well, and this might limit the parcel across the street more than it would limit the parcel that we're primarily concerned with right now.
Right. Well, I understand what you're talking about right now, but what is the end game? How many do you foresee on that property when it's fully developed? That's not an unreasonable question. I understand what you're proposing for now, but with the way this is written, there certainly is room for more. Am I right, Mr. Belwar?
Absolutely.
Okay, so.
And you're looking to accommodate, in a sense, the applicant by understanding what the total could be and then trying to back into that, if it makes sense.
Absolutely. That's the end game helps us make a determination about what's reasonable. That's my opinion.
So the current 20-acre schematic plan we put together shows 5 proposed uses. Uses are buildings.
Patrick, 4 of them.
Yep.
And that'll be the end. That's all that you'll ever propose for that piece of property.
No. Now, 4 of them would be individual. But the lot here on the upper right side would be multi-tenanted. That more than likely is not one user. Right, that could be several retail stores, okay? The other is that we've had, as a potential user, we've had some interest from medical users instead of the hotel. Okay, and we're exploring it. We're exploring hotel and we're exploring medical users. That building would become multiple uses, right? So it would be difficult at this point to predict exactly what it would be, but whatever it is, it has to meet your regulations.
You mean it would be multiple tenants with the same, with the same uses?
Same footprint, same.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. So the right. It's not so much the tenants. It's the different businesses that you're talking about.
You're getting down to the point where you're using the term lot. So a lot may have more than one use or several uses in it. What is the end game for the number of lots in this particular piece of property?
I think that what we showed here is that.
Five.
I think we're looking at that.
But that's it. It'll never be more than that. That's what I'm getting. Am I clear, Mr. Belwar, or am I not?
You are. Let's use another term, though, because you're saying lots. Remember, this is not going to be subdivided.
Right, so I understand that. I
buildings. How many buildings? And I think Mr. DePietro is saying five buildings.
Right.
Now, within one building, there could be more than one commercial use, right?
Yeah, he said that.
Anything else
would
require your approval, right? So, but we want to try to get it straight now where we don't have to do that.
Right.
And we think five is sufficient.
So, five on 20-some acres. So then what would the number be on 7 acres?
As a ratio you're talking to.
Yeah, probably three.
You know, if you're doing it like a
well,
direct ratio.
Well, this is why I'm saying we're
I get what you mean now.
If your ordinance is one per acre, we're not interested in that. I think three would be appropriate.
Well, what the ordinance calls for now certainly should not apply to this type of development. Because the advantage to the developer is to get more on less land. So the point in the next portion with the amount of lot coverage reflects that. So there should be extra land. And that's why we're suggesting either green area or something of that nature, you know. So I think we need, from the township's point of view, we need a reasonable formula for how many can go on, whether it's 7 acres, 10 acres, 20 acres, 100 acres, whatever that is. We need to have some sort of a beginning and an end.
And to my mind, the way you do that is by controlling it, not necessarily the number of buildings, but you control it through this provision, which is the lot
coverage.
Maximum amount of coverage.
So and
65% would not be considered over density.
Generally speaking, commercial type uses, a lot coverage of 25 or 35% is relatively low compared to most ordinances. Very low, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree. And it's set up in such a way that through a conditional use, you can obtain the 65%. Of course, with conditional use, like a special exception, the table is slanted in favor of the applicant. It allows a municipality or for a special exception zoning hearing board to place conditions on a use that's allowed.
So, you know, the world...
But it doesn't make you go through that process.
One comment I'd like to make, and that is that, you know, the world does change. And right now, this is the plan that we have for this property. As you know, and not to bring up any sore subjects, but as you know, there are people that would love to see sewer come down, okay, from up above, down into Milford, right?
It's not a sore subject at all.
I don't think it's a sore subject at all.
I don't think it's a sore subject at all.
Okay. Well, I only know a little bit. What I've heard is that people want it, and Milford would not like to see it. Nah, maybe I have that all wrong. Okay.
Well, we were not against it.
Well, we're not talking about sewer. Let's not get into that.
All right. So, but we don't want to agree to things that would forever change the landscape of this property, right?
So. Where are we now, Mr. Belwar?
Recording stopped.
I don't remember discussing this.
No. Do you want to start the recording again?
I don't remember discussing
that.
No.
Okay.
I don't remember discussing
just
that.
Stop. But where we are...
Recording in progress.
Yep, here we go.
Okay. I proposed a 25% minimum, but you can increase it to 65% during the conditional use process.
Okay. So then how do we know ultimately how many buildings are going to be included on a piece of property by going at it this way with a 65% maximum?
There's still... Can you restate that question again? I didn't quite hear.
How do we figure the number of buildings on a piece of property? How do we get to what's reasonable?
Well, I don't know that we can figure a number of buildings. I mean, we can figure out a square footage of buildings.
What would be the average?
Would be a, you know what I'm saying?
Square footage of a lease area for a building on that plot plan right now.
I think that your smallest building.
Hey, what would that be?
Your smallest building was what, 4,000 square feet?
Not the building.
Right now, we
have... Lease area, including
around the building.
Oh, that's not on there.
Right now, we have three buildings along the frontage. That probably is reality, okay? But there is a potential, and I'd like to be very transparent and very straightforward. Maybe there's a potential that we don't develop these back properties, okay? And we just see how the world turns, right? And maybe, okay, her father, okay, championed this idea of very upscale condos there, okay? Now, that's not in our plans right now because there's no sewer, but the world does change. We have a development in Medford, New Jersey, where years ago, McDonald's sued the town, won, and it's a humongously successful McDonald's. Well, the town changed the ordinance. We have a property there our family's owned for 50 years. And Medford was against all drive-thrus of any type, okay, and other fast food. Well, now the administration has changed, and now there's a new thinking there of other quality development. So I'm just trying to say we can't be pigeonholed into saying there's only going to be three uses on this property.
Well, there's nothing to stop you from coming back in to add to your uses or amend your conditional use. That's always been an option here. But in the beginning, like, how much property is allowed for each building? Property, not the building size, roughly.
I know, Patrick. I mean, this is our land, man.
Approximately 1.5 acre would service each of these per structure on this, including parking, driveways, whatnot. That doesn't include stormwater management, does not include areas for sanitary, doesn't include the areas for the PennDOT access points, but 1.5 acres is a good rough estimate.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is the 7 acres across the street, if that was built just by our ordinance the way it is now, you could put probably four to five structures in there if it's done right with septic and the roads. So I don't understand if we go this route and you go 1/2 acre per property, are we looking at 8?
One and a half.
No, I think I said
three. Oh, 1.5?
1.5.
Oh, I only heard a half.
So. Yeah, 1.5.
1.5.
Correct.
Okay.
So that'd be one structure across the street based on...
No. Yes. No.
Well, it'd be three.
If it's 7 acres...
Three.
And did every one of them have to be 1.5? It depends on the size of the building. I understand. Whatever they want to put in.
Well, he's also saying without the septic and...
25%.
You know.
So he's looking at...
Yeah, so if you donated 1 acre to septic and 1 acre to roads, that's still going to leave you 5 acres.
Which is 3 buildings.
3 buildings. You're only putting 5 across the street on 20-something acres.
Right.
I mean, I think it...
Well, you have your major sewer facility here, too, your major storm drainage.
Right, but there's less impact on a smaller piece of land anyway, so... The infrastructure that you have to put in.
Well,
is
the answer as simple as there will be no more separate buildings than there would be in a normal subdivision? Because is there a way to make sense of that?
Well, if they put septic for each building on each lot, we still had 1 acre per building.
No, what I'm saying is that. Somewhere we need to come with a total for the piece of property that we have.
I think it lends it to less larger buildings than, I mean, you know, if we did an acre, I mean, you could end up with what, probably 12.
Yeah.
Probably 12 small buildings. You know, so if they're concentrating it into larger buildings, they're gonna get less, right? So the ratio would be, what, 1 on 4 acres, or how would you?
Right, and that's what I'm getting at.
How would you're looking for?
Why don't we ask Patrick?
Yeah.
Do you have a formula that you apply to a piece of property for how many buildings are going in? Allowing you room for your utilities and roads?
Not necessarily, but I will look at the use involved. I will look at the zoning ordinance requirements. I'll look at the stormwater management requirements. I'll look at, does it require on-lot sanitary? Does it require on-lot well? And all those factors come into play. So for example, the fact that still sticks in my mind right now, where I think we left off, is the 25% coverage. If that is strictly held to the ordinance requirements, then 25% of 7 acres, you're getting one structure on that property.
No, we just said it's 25 minimum. We'll go to 65 maximum, but it gets increased with the conditional use.
Right, but
it's not limiting it to 25%.
Okay, but generally speaking, there's a lot of factors that come into play, and it includes that number and the maximum requirement, but that's one of the many factors, including the proposed use. The parking ordinance requirements are always a big factor. Some ordinances require, you know, one parking stall per 200 square feet commercial. Some require one per 400 square feet of commercial space. So that's a big factor. There's a lot of variables that come into play. It's tough to say.
Have you looked at the 7 acres and what you could possibly put there?
We have. So there was a real rough sketch done, and they were showing it 3 structures.
Which is about what we figured.
Yeah, I think that's about what we figured.
We don't want that property to look like Wildwood.
Well, here. One of the original plans you sent in, you had gray structures on there that...
Yes, they were very sketched in, but really just shown for schematic and future planning purposes, not intended for this development.
Right.
And it also, with our discussions with PennDOT, that had to be brought up because it does affect that property across the street as well.
Of course it would.
So let's skip over this, Mr. Belwar, and continue with the questions. We'll come back to this. Is that what I'm hearing?
Understood. So we're skipping over the minimum number of acres, skipping over the impervious maximum.
Yep.
Right now, let's move on to number four on his list, which is 413.B7, which is the parking, which gets us kind of back into this discussion. He said, as most of the additional language in this subsection is okay, but I don't understand the need for a parking permit or see how it would be implemented. I added in the idea of a parking permit because of the fact that you may have approval today for certain types of commercial uses, but next year, 5 years from now, that's going to change. You're going to have tenants come and go. We allow, at least as proposed here, we allow for shared parking, but you have to show us that it will work. So if the shared parking was between commercial uses A and B, and then B leaves, and now you have commercial use C, and it just doesn't work, you should have a process by which they have to prove to you that it will work, and that's a parking permit. So that's the reason for a permit for each use that goes in there.
Isn't that a land development issue? I mean,
you
have 5-1, you have retail, you have restaurants, we have to meet certain criteria here. What's happening with parking is that there are many uses that don't require much parking. There are some that require more, right? So in a lot of cases, you need to look at them, and a lot of townships are saying, we would rather see green than force developers to add parking that's never used, right? To me, that's foolish. But sometimes that's the case. And a lot of those, what happens is you just reserve the right. If you put a user in, you say, this is going to be a light user, and all of a sudden you were wrong, well, you have the extra parking to put in that way.
Yeah, I would agree. The one statement, I've never seen a parking permit requirement. I understand Attorney Belwar's concerns. One thing, with the change of use, which that would be a drastic impact to parking requirements, with the change of use, I'm pretty sure your ordinance requires applicants resubmit for land development, which would then bring that factor back into play. That's my only real comment on that one.
Yeah, if it's a change of use that isn't a similar use, then you would have to come back in.
No question.
And right. that would definitely have to be in here.
Although I shoot ahead to subsection 8, the next one, which is submittal. And there, this was language that the applicant had suggested. Once a conditional use approval was granted, the applicant shall have, and they had it as shall have flexibility, but I changed it to shall apply for a certificate of use for each proposed use, shall list the use as either permitted principal use. This came from Sean, by the way, or use allowed by conditional use, but that they don't need approval per se other than a certificate of use if the use is consistent with what's allowed under conditional uses.
Right. If it's a similar use and it's a permitted use, the zoning officer can give the new permit. It's always been that way. But if it's a restaurant,
right. Shouldn't be an issue.
Right.
But if you have a restaurant that's primarily sit down, and then it changes up to a Chick-fil-A, which is always going to have a long drive-through line, you maybe want to retain for yourself the ability to have that analyzed.
Well, that's part of the use. If all the uses meet, if you had a restaurant, let's say 30 seats, and another restaurant comes in 30 seats, that's an issue permit by the zoning officer because nothing's changing. I've been through this right. plenty of times. And if you decide you're going to have a restaurant that's with a drive-through, now that's typically a change of the conditions of that use. So they have to come back in for just for the drive-through part of it and look at the traffic. That would be yep. required.
Yep. Am I correct? I don't think that Tony had any issue, right, with this. The paragraph that Mr. Balazar is addressing, I don't think.
It's in the bottom of that section number 8, Jim. I don't think Attorney Waldron had any concerns with the way that part was worded.
Yeah. I think he had an issue right. with the terminology sufficient information.
Right.
Yeah.
And that'll be our next one. But focusing back on the parking. My suggestion was go with a parking permit. If there's no change, the permit gets issued. But it reserves for the township the ability to have further study in the event parking becomes an issue.
How do we enforce that? That's my only point.
Well,
have you ever seen that in your experience?
I mean, if it's a change of use,
no, I have not.
It's a change in the use. It's coming back to us, so we're going to.
Is the permit right. would be but issued by the zoning officer?
It makes sense to me.
But for the permit,
the permit does have me a little concerned about what requirements of the permit there might be. Is it just to show that your proposed use? Meets ordinance requirements for parking?
Yeah.
Well, right.
Yep. Okay. Doesn't the zoning officer take care of that anyway?
Well, could there be a statement in there, Mr. Belwar, to the fact that with reapplications for use, parking must be verified?
Well, that would be one of the major factors of right. maybe applying, yes.
Yeah, that's it anyway. I believe
right, but
it.
With all these shared parking lots, it's not like you're going right. in and evaluating just one parking lot.
Right, right, no. yeah. Would we redelineate the amount of parking spaces?
You're looking at the use, the amount right. of possible parking.
For example, if we had a furniture store, which is a very, very light parking user, we couldn't replace it with a restaurant, which is a very intensive user.
Right.
Unless
exactly.
we came back in
right.
and talked to you.
Right.
We get it.
I think that would be a question for the engineer because I don't know how you could even keep track of it when it's shared parking.
Yeah.
Well, it would be unspeculated.
If you allow shared parking, you want to allow for some sort of mechanism to take a look at that when the new use comes in.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, wouldn't at that point you reference the previous conditional use for that business? Because
yeah,
each business is going to have to come in for a conditional use and have parking allotted to them. Anyway.
I want to see, I'd have to ask John, ask our engineer, if there's some kind of formula for that. Because if you're going to have shared parking, there's no way to say how much, you'd have to go through the whole thing again to figure out parking.
There should be, there'd be typically a parking analysis done on the entire property. Now, shared parking, something that isn't, I don't even know if I should bring it up now, but many times with shared parking, there should be a reduction allowed because different uses have different demands at different times, which there isn't here. But there, an analysis of the parking of one use on this multi-use property should take into consideration the entire property.
Right, but at the same time, if a use is changing, that could create more parking. We need to go through all the uses in there again and figure out the parking for each use and whether there's enough parking spaces in the whole place, average use. Not. I'm not saying like one parking spot per person or one parking spot per 10 square foot. I'm just saying
sure.
the average, like even like the AutoZone that was in here, they can tell you pretty much how many.
All right,